What is that?
They're eating her. Well, that wouldn't do at all.
Oh, God, not the bees!
And then they're going to eat me.
This isn't plans 1 through 8 from outer space.
Not the bees!
This is plan 9.
Oh, hi, Mark.
This is the one that worked.
You got 10 me apart, Lisa!
My revenge and Death Stalker 2.
Have a nice day!
I don't think you're pretty anymore.
Yeah, the one where they found the book and the science stuff and the other stuff and the.
More like a shed.
I mean, no, it was bigger than a shed. It was a house.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I guess. It looked very house-like to me.
To me, it looked like a shed.
There were at least 5 different rooms in there.
A big shed.
A big shed with a dining room table, front door.
I don't remember there being a dining room table.
They put the guy on the dining room table when he was...
That's right. That was a house.
...bitten by the thing.
Yeah.
Which raises a big question, but I'll introduce the podcast first. Welcome to Bad Movie Date Night, the podcast in which we take a serious look at bad films and genre films and hopefully give them the credit that they deserve. I'm Nigel from ajourneyintofilm.com, and with me is my wonderful wife, Caitlin.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, we did not know what movie we wanted to watch.
And boy, should we have.
Yeah, we should have put more thought into this. And that's why we're talking about 2003 House of the Dead, directed by Uwe Boll, starring Jonathan Cherry, Tyrone Lightso, Clint Howard, Ona Grauer, Ellie Cornell, Will Sanderson, and a bunch of other people. And this was a movie. It's based on a Sega video game of the same name. You may have seen it in an arcade or a bowling alley where they have arcade games.
I've never seen this game.
One of those rail shooters, I think they're called, where you have the gun that has the light sensor. And I don't really know how it works. I'm not a video game guy. And that is all of the preliminary information I have about this. Some of you might remember we talked about Uwe Boll's other film, Alone in the Dark, starring Christian Slater. And that was a disaster.
Yeah.
You don't remember that movie at all,
no,
do you?
No, I tried to block it out.
That's the one that had the short novel that you had to read at the beginning of it. That was supposed to explain everything, and somehow you felt like you kind of needed that for reference throughout the movie. There were the creatures that only showed up in the dark. I think they had something to do with their spines.
What? No. And
Christian Slater was kind of a jerk to children.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
He said something, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. For those of you who did listen to that episode, though, you might remember that we talked about why Uwe Boll continued to make terrible video game adaptations. And just a refresher, it's because he could get the rights to them super cheap. And because of a loophole in the German tax code, he was able to basically not pay taxes on his movies because they ended up being failures. And he used that money to make more movies.
Do you think this guy actually enjoyed making movies? Or, like, did he... I mean, because I guess it wasn't lucrative. It's not like he was getting a lot of money out of it. But why did he... I mean, he knew he wasn't making a good movie. Obviously, you don't think, oh, I'm going to make a good movie with the plan of I want it to fail so that I can not pay taxes on it.
I think he wants to make movies, but I also think he wants to make money. And that was a guaranteed way to make sure that he made money.
How would he make money, though, if the movie didn't do well?
Because he wouldn't have to pay taxes on it.
So he would, like, what, get... How would he get money from that, though?
I am not going to pretend to understand German tax codes.
Okay.
Or how they work, but that's essentially how it worked for him for a long time until 2006, when they closed that loophole.
Mm.
He is a very... He seems to be, like, a very angry person. He challenged some of his biggest critics to a boxing match, and there was a documentary about it called Raging Bull.
Okay.
That's a fun play on titles. And apparently he beat all of them who actually took up the challenge.
Yeah, who would... Okay. Well, dumb.
So, you know, he just kind of seems arrogant. And, you know, that's... I don't know. I guess this is the guy that we want making video game movies. He hasn't really made video game movies in a while.
Yeah, because he can't use his loophole.
Well, I mean, he still makes movies, but he... I think his last video game related movie was Blood Rain: The Third Reich in 2011.
Okay.
I guess that's a video. I think that's a video game. I've not heard of any video games called Blubberella or In the Name of the King or Rampage. That's a... There was that one Rampage movie with The Rock. I remember that video game, but I don't... Mm-hmm. I don't know of this one, in which it looks like it's just kind of your standard guns and things. Yeah. Can you tell that we're not video game people?
Mm.
I sound
You sound like you know what you're talking about.
I do. I sound very professional. Actually, of all the video games I played in my life, this is one that I do vaguely remember, although I did need to take up a refresher on the plot of the game. But, I mean, when you're just shooting zombies at an arcade, do you really care about the plot?
Right. I love how video games pretend to need plots.
I mean, it's nice when there's, like, a story and you kind of do things based on the story, but like if I'm playing Mortal Kombat, I don't care why they're there or why they're fighting.
Right.
Just let me fight people.
I played two video games in my whole life.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man video game. You remember that one?
The one where you just kind of swung around from the sky?
Yeah, I think there was a goal though. You had to go like find something. I beat it once. That's why I know there was a goal.
Was that on the computer?
No.
Oh, okay.
That it was a video game. Green Goblin was in it. And then Scooby-Doo.
I don't remember.
Oh, man. I love the Scooby-Doo video game. I won because of a glitch.
Okay.
Literally a glitch. Me and my brothers played it one time when we had like winter break or something. We played it every day, like all day. We were like, we're not stopping until we beat this game. And we didn't. So those are the only two video games I've ever attempted.
All right. I've played a handful in my day. I don't really have the time to list all of them here. So
yeah, when you only have two, it's easy.
Yes. So House of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
A group of friends are invited to some mysterious rave on an island called Isla del Muerte. Very original name. Island of the Dead. And they hire a rugged fishing captain and his assistant, Crazy Clint Howard.
Oh, Clint. What were you doing in this movie?
Get them to... Apparently, Uwe Boll is friends with Clint Howard.
Okay. That's interesting.
According to my limited research, which is wild. You know what else is wild about Uwe Boll?
Hmm.
He's worked with some fantastic actors. Ben Kingsley, J.K. Simmons, Ron Perlman, Christian Slater, Stephen Dorff. like, what are these, do these people, like, he has a reputation of being bad. Are they just unaware? Do they need the money? Is this like a Nick Cage situation where they have debts and they need to make money?
Right.
I would love to know, like, because we, okay, it being in a movie like this is very different from, like, a Mike Myers comedy. Where, like, I just don't know how you agree to be in a movie with a director who's famously bad.
Right.
And
expect, what, your career to start out of that?
Right. Like I mean, I guess, like, you're going to make money regardless from them. Anyways, the kids get to the island too late because at that point, zombies have killed everybody at the rave and they have to fight for their lives to get to live.
Yeah.
They have to fight for their lives to live.
Why did they get this invitation to the rave to begin with? Was it like set up since it was like a government program? Did they like select certain people?
No, I think it was just a rave. Okay. You know how people, they're like, it, you know, like the Fyre Festival. They're like, oh, look, there's this island. We can go do a rave here.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Sega, apparently, the makers of the original House of the Dead video game.
Okay.
Little, I guess, sure. Easter egg for you.
If you care about video games and know things about them.
Yes. So, with the plot being said, as it not being a video game person myself, in terms of the world of video game movies, I thought this was not terrible. I mean, if we're looking, I mean, from a movie standpoint,
you are blowing my mind right now.
From a movie standpoint, not great. The characters are your typical dumb archetypes, kind of. The choices they make are dumb. The movie moves in directions that, like, it almost feels like it has to. But
yeah.
It's questionable why they have to do the things that they do. And, I mean, the zombies were kind of cool most of the time. The action was interesting most of the time.
Oh no, hard disagree there.
And oh yeah, I don't know if I said this, but this is a prequel to the video games. And apparently Rudy, the only survivor, becomes a bad guy at the end. Or he's the bad guy of the video games, but he's the good guy in this. So I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you that that's what happens.
No, I don't think he was the good guy in this movie. He was a neutral character at best.
I mean, in terms of him trying to save Alicia and not die, he's...
Neutral. Neutral.
But he did everything he could to save her. Well, I guess then he used the serum on her, so that was... I guess he's neutral.
He's neutral.
Everybody in this movie is neutral. I would rather watch pieces of cardboard carried around on sticks in the shape of people than the people that were in this movie.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me your thoughts?
I did not like this movie. I did not. I thought the characters were unrelatable. I also did not follow the story at all. It seemed like they were going to this rave and then zombies were there and then they're like, oh no. And then they got off. Like, okay. Like, that's a stupid story. That's all there was. You make me care about the characters before we go there. Make it a surprise that the zombies are going to, like, why couldn't they have showed up to the rave, started having a good time? And then, like, zombies attack. Like, you go there and, like, you're already in the middle of it. Okay. Maybe if you didn't spend 30 minutes on a boat over explaining nonsense, you could have had a better movie. Also, give me more Clint Howard.
Yeah. I stand by my comments last week about how Clint Howard makes every movie a little bit better.
Also, this movie was discriminatory. Because it is not for those people who can't watch spinning scenes or flashing lights. No, no, no. I had to close my eyes multiple times during this movie.
Yeah, there were some choices made. Like, okay, we get it. Like, you saw The Matrix and you wanted to do the bullet time thing. Fun fact, this movie is the last movie that used the turntable and spinning camera effect because it was too dangerous for the actors. Thought that was kind of fun.
Really?
Yeah, so the actors were standing on like a turntable and they would spin. The turntable would spin and then the camera would also spin. So it kind of gave that like bullet time illusion.
Or here's an idea, you could just not do that.
I mean, they had to do something to make the action interesting because most of the time it was incoherent nonsense.
Like when they ripped off scenes from The Matrix?
Yeah. And you remember when... Do you remember how many bullets went through multiple people to kill people? And then that one guy got shot in the head, but it didn't go through him to the other person?
That was funny.
And that one time that...
Bullet logic was not a thing in this movie.
Yeah. I get like you were using a shotgun, but it definitely looked like... One bullet came out and turned into 20 bullets.
Yeah. No, that's literally what happened.
Right. But like whenever you shoot a shotgun, like it's a bunch of tiny projectiles that kind of like break apart and spread. You didn't know that?
Like a hunting shotgun?
Yeah.
What?
I'm blowing your mind right now, aren't I?
Yes. Wait, what? That's not real. That's not science.
That's what a shotgun.
No.
There's it inside the, I'm going to call it a cartridge. I don't think that's what it's actually called, but inside there's like a bunch of like little pellets. And so whenever you shoot it, it shoots them all out in like kind of a disbursement pattern the same way that like a single bullet would come out. And so that's why you can shoot a lot of things. That's why when people shoot a shotgun at like a door, it blows a massive hole in it instead of just like one tiny hole.
Wow. I had no idea.
You learn something new every day.
Apparently. It's not embarrassing at all.
I mean, why would you be expected to know how guns work?
I don't know. Because society thinks that you should know how everything works all the time.
Yeah. And that's how we end up with people who criticize movies with zero knowledge of anything.
Yeah.
So that effect was kind of weird because it's like not inaccurate, but it just looked too much cooler than it actually was because it made it look like 20,000 bullets were coming out of it. And
well, but I'm glad they did it because now I know something.
Now, you know, the more you know.
Mm-hmm.
What am I trying to say here? I thought that the big fight scene with the zombies was... It was, like, half cool. Like, I wanted them to fight the zombies at some point. And
right.
I guess, like... I don't know. That was another thing that didn't really make sense. Like, why all of a sudden did the zombies come after them all at one time? And...
Yeah.
Like, I get that the door was locked, but they seemed to just jump through the window. They also kept throwing grenades in horrible spots to kill zombies. Like, throw the grenade at the zombie.
They would throw it to, like, one zombie.
Yeah, they would throw it to, like, one by himself or, like, down a well.
Right.
I don't even remember why she threw... Did they throw a zombie into the well?
I don't think so.
And if that one guy had dynamite... Why didn't he just throw that? Why didn't he light that and throw that then?
That was amazing. You're like, that's not a dynamite, that's a flare. And I was like, no, that's dynamite.
Yeah. The
sure enough, it was.
Grizzled ship captain had a bunch of things in his pockets. To me, they looked like flares because this movie had flares everywhere.
Yeah.
And you insisted that they were dynamite, and...
I thought he was going to blow himself up, though.
I mean, arguably he did.
Well, I thought, like, light all the dynamite and then let the zombies come.
See, I think some of it was flares. I think he just had, like, the one stick of dynamite.
That's a weird choice, but, I mean, I don't know. This movie made a lot of weird choices, so you might be right.
Yeah. So, let's talk about how the kids get to the island, and I'm going to address a comment that you made about how they should get there and then the zombies show up. I think that there was an attempt to add suspense to this by showing us, the audience, the attack from the zombies to the rave people. So that we're like, oh no, they're walking into an island full of zombies.
Yeah.
Was it effective? Not particularly.
Not at all.
Especially since everybody's like, don't go on the island. Like, there's something terrible on the island. If we all know that there's something terrible on the island, why do we let people go there? Right. Is this the first time that people have gone to the island and they've been attacked?
Was it supposed to be like a thing where like people knew, like there's a legend about zombies being there, but nobody actually ever died from them? So they were like, oh, it's risky.
I don't know. I would love to see the boat that the other people took to get to the island. Because there didn't seem to be a dock on the island. Mm-hmm. So did somebody from Sega just rent a boat and send out invitations to early 2000s influencers to
That's
be
kind
at
of
this
what it
rave?
Seemed like.
And then did they knowingly get... Because let's be real. Puzzle Face, the guy who's making the zombies, we're calling him Puzzle Face because... So I don't remember his name. No, his name's something Spanish.
Oh. I've been calling him Puzzle Face thinking that was his name the whole time.
I mean, doesn't Puzzle Face kind of sound like a Hellraiser, like a rejected Hellraiser demon?
Definitely.
He kind of looked like one, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how he would know to invite these people to the island. Also, get a bunch of kegs and foods, and I would like to know the logistics of setting up this rave.
Well, that's why I think it was the government. The government set up the rave to like get people there to lure them to see like what would happen, basically.
But the people who pick them up in the end aren't working for the government.
They're not. I thought they were the government.
I don't know.
They just looked like government people.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a weird rich guy who was like, I just want to see what would happen.
Yeah. I mean, is Rudy part of the group that picked them up in the end? And he knew about it? Did he plan all of this? He's the bad guy in the video game, so maybe it's his fault.
That's true. They also got police officers there.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because that was kind of a weird... additional plot to get guns and police officers on the island.
Do you think that the police officers knew about the island, though?
The amount of people that knew about the island is questionable.
Yeah.
It seemed like maybe Clint Howard was the only one concerned about this island.
But it didn't explain why.
He just said it was dangerous and tried to give that girl a cross while she was topless.
Yeah.
Because you remember the guy threw up on her?
Yeah, I remember that. That was gross. And then didn't wipe his face off.
Oh, my gosh. He had that vomit on his face for like...
That was...
At least 20 minutes.
Uncalled for.
Yeah. So the ship captain apparently is some sort of smuggler. And... the police do random ship checks on the second Tuesday of every month or something like that. Which, why are you that consistent? Because then he knows, just don't have illegal things on my boat.
Right.
And he takes off while the police show up with these kids, and the police chase after them because they're that interested in these illicit firearms. But then it's good that they have the firearms because then they can shoot the zombies.
Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had all those guns.
Here's the thing that I'm confused about, and maybe I missed something. So they go back to the boat where the captain is. Mm-hmm. The boat is overrun by zombies.
Yes.
The captain is no longer on the boat.
Correct.
But collectively, the captain and the policewoman and the kids all shoot the zombies in the general area.
Correct.
Why enough? Well, I guess he took the guns off the boat, which how he did that on his own, I don't know, because then in the next scene, they have two people carrying the crate.
Yeah, why did the police officers have a crate of guns, though?
That was his crate of guns.
Oh, gotcha.
The ship, because he had them covered up by cigars.
That's right.
How did he get that off the boat by himself? First question. Mm-mm. Second question, why didn't they just get back on the boat and leave?
Right. There's an island full of zombies. Right. We could leave.
Right. and because the police showed up, there are two boats at this island. Mm-hmm. If the ship captain's boat is no bueno, go to the other boat.
Right.
And just leave.
Right.
Why do they go to this house? This movie lost me, because I didn't know why they were doing what they were doing. And I guess the movie said, well, they have to go back to the house because the movie's called House of the Dead.
Do you think they were like, oh, we have to stop the spread of these zombies, so we have to, like, kill them?
At no point in the movie do they think,
I know,
maybe we should stop the... Arguably, the fact that they tried to stop them is what infected the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is one half of a movie, and the other half is almost a different movie. It's like an alternate ending to the movie because they said, we need to do this thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say it was a movie at all. I mean, I just feel like the story, what story? That's my question. What story? Zombies? Also, this movie supposes that zombies are logical beings that can pick up and drag bodies to a centralized location that Puzzle Face tells them to bring them to. Why? I'm not sure.
To make more zombies.
I'm not sure how that works, but okay. You mean if you're bit by a zombie, you don't just turn into one? You have to get dragged to this place and then be turned into one?
I think that's what this movie is saying, but that's...
That's not what happens, though. Clint Howard, he doesn't get dragged there, does he?
I mean, we don't know. We see him get attacked by zombies, and the next thing we know, he's showing up at the final battle.
I guess.
The final battle before the final battle.
So, I just don't understand that logic.
I think he needs the special blood tank with the weird fish with the face to make the zombies. But I think these zombies are different from Romero zombie. Well, even Romero zombies eventually kind of start thinking. I feel like they're more like dead slaves that have more motor functions than the average dead thing.
Yeah.
And that's why they can use tools and carry things around.
But that doesn't make sense. So this movie is supposing that they're not really dead?
No, I think they're dead in the like technical sense, but it's also...
So their brain is still functioning?
I mean, I don't think that they have like coherent thoughts of, hey, this is my friend. I think, you know what I think of it? I think their body is dead, and because they're brought back from the dead, they are slaves with minor levels of thinking. Their only thought is, I got to do what Puzzle Face tells me to do.
I'm going to call BS.
But I mean, that's what happens in the movie. You can't just call BS
on logic. I'm calling BS because it has no logic.
But within the framework of the movie, like, it works. Just because it's not, it's different from other zombie movies doesn't mean that it's, like, illogical to this movie.
I agree to disagree.
Hey, how about when Puzzleface wore Greg's face and they thought, oh, we're saved by Greg, and then he's
that
like,
that was weird. That was weird.
Yeah. But then, oh, we got to talk about my favorite line in the entire movie. I love that.
I've just been quoting this line all weekend.
This movie has some of the best quotes in the entire world. Like, first of all, they get inside the old house, and Alicia says, guys, check out this book. Looks pretty old. Maybe it'll help us. Help us to do what? I don't know. You have been
and why this book?
Yeah, why this book specifically? There are dozens of books everywhere. Mm-hmm. You remember when that guy lit the only unlit candle in the room using the fire?
Yeah, instead of all the other candles that were lit.
There was a candle 2 feet away from his face, and he said, I'm going to use this fireplace instead.
How about the blood quote? Oh, it's blood.
Yeah, this guy looks at mutated blood or whatever he calls it and knows that it's mutated blood. I mean, I don't know what this guy does for a living.
Well, no, because they don't give you any backstory or character development.
Yeah.
It's like storytelling 101 is you have to have some type of like character development in a movie.
Yeah.
And this movie had none.
No, I mean, we just get the idea that they know each other vaguely, and she's mad that he's dating Liberty, which was a very confusing experience. This small Asian girl wearing a red, white, and blue jumpsuit named Liberty.
Yeah, like, why was she wearing that jumpsuit?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And, like, you know what the thing I think is really interesting? There's this trope in zombie movies where they never call them zombies.
Is that like a TM? Zombie TM? Or registered trademark?
No, because the word zombie... Now, I could be completely off base on this, but zombie, I think, goes back to the, like... I'm gonna butcher this. Somebody's gonna be so mad at me for this. But like the hoodoo and voodoo people.
Uh-huh.
It is called hoodoo. I know that for sure. That's the bad one. Everybody calls voodoo the bad one, but it's hoodoo that's the bad one.
Yeah.
But there are like urban legends of these practitioners turning people into zombies. Like they kidnap people from their homes in Haiti. That's where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it's Haiti.
Yeah.
And they like turn them into zombies, and people are like, it's my uncle. Where have you been? And they're like, I'm a zombie now. They don't really talk that way, but that's kind of where the idea of zombies came from.
Knock, knock, knock. Hi.
I'm a zombie now. Oh, hey, remember when Simon got his face burnt and he acted like he was the most hideous thing to walk the earth?
Yeah.
And Karma's like, I still think you're sexy.
Didn't he? Wasn't he basically like, well, that's stupid because I'm not. I feel like I remember him getting mad at her.
Yeah, he was like
attractive.
He was like he was kind of like thanks, but then like, you know that he didn't really believe her. When they get to the rave, my favorite quote from Greg. Well, they sure as hell did not go to 7-Eleven to get more booze because the keg is full.
Okay,
everybody's missing, and you just assuming they, walked down to 7-Eleven to get more beer?
Right.
My favorite line in the entire movie, though. Rudy says to the bad guy, you created it all so you could become immortal. Why? And the bad guy says, to live forever.
Right.
Yes, that is
the definition of immortal.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I actually, this is something that I kind of liked, but in reality is stupid. And there's no explanation for why this should be in the movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of fight scenes, they just do these quick flashes from the video game.
Yeah.
Like a quick little side, like to see like, oh, this is what this would look like if you were playing the Sega game.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, great, thanks.
Yeah.
Don't care.
And 98% of the opening credits play over this weird black line drawing of cutscenes from the video game.
Yeah.
Which is odd whenever you consider that the movie is a prequel to this.
You know what I did like about this movie? The tents that they had at this rave.
The tents?
Yeah. They had like blow up furniture in there.
Yeah.
They getting all types of comf.
I guess if you think that a blow up chair is the pinnacle of comfiness.
Well, for camping.
Sure.
What else are you going to bring to camp?
A sleeping bag.
They had that too.
They did have all the sleeping bags.
Yeah.
And they thought of everything because they had all of those lights strung up in the trees.
Yeah. But
no generators for the, for miles. No sound of power being created out of gasoline.
Nope.
Just everything worked.
It's the best way to camp.
I mean, if you're able to find one of those tree outlets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the bathroom? They didn't show that. Oh, wait. They had that guy in the porta potty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Greg got stuck in the porta potty because he had to go.
That's right.
In the midst of, he's getting ready to do it with Cynthia.
Yeah.
Who turned into a zombie. Along with the police officers.
Literally only Rudy didn't turn into a zombie.
Yeah, and he basically like sentenced Alicia to a life as a zombie.
Yeah, definitely.
And he was taking her back to the mainland.
Right, so it's going to spread everywhere.
Right.
Way
and again,
to go,
why
Rudy.
The people show up at the end of the movie to save them in the helicopter is beyond me.
Right? That was also amazing.
Things
no one called. No one was like, go to the boat and call for support. Like, just one throwaway line to explain that.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, why couldn't they just take a boat to leave?
Right.
Driving a boat's not that hard, even if they were the only two survivors. They seem to have killed all of the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they killed the head zombie? Because they broke the vat of
blood? I think because they broke the vat of blood.
But then, yeah, I guess because then Puzzle Face didn't have any blood to make more zombies. So they couldn't make any more.
And they killed all the other ones, maybe? I don't know. I don't know. I don't pretend to understand this movie.
Yeah.
I'm angry this movie exists.
Let's go to your dating corner.
Well, I just have a rant for my dating corner.
Go for it.
Well, this movie has like a group of friends, ? And
that didn't really seem to like each other.
Well, right. That's what I was going to say. So Greg, I think, is dating Cynthia. Is that right?
Yeah.
And Karma is jealous?
No. Karma is interested in Simon, but Simon likes Alicia.
That's right. Okay, so Simon likes Alicia. Karma wants to date Simon. So here's my dating advice. Number one, if you're in a friends group and two people like each other hey, respect that.
And but I don't think Alicia liked
know,
Simon.
I know. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That was just part one.
Okay.
Part two, communication. If you like somebody, tell them, whoa, mind-blowing concept.
Or you could just stew quietly until they read your mind.
No, that's impossible. Impossible. And girls who do that are stupid because guys are not going to read your mind, nor should they be able to read your mind. And guess what? Hey, it's your responsibility to advocate for yourself. Idiots. Okay. Another thing is if you are on an island and you are in a life or death situation because zombies are coming after you, forget about high school crushes and just go into save yourself mode.
But teamwork makes the dream work, Caitlin.
Fine, teamwork, but don't love mess it up.
It's just, a good call.
Just put on your thinking hat and take off your love hat.
It's a good call.
Idiots.
Remember when Simon just decided he was dead and blew up the house?
Yeah, I don't know what that accomplished.
Well, he killed some zombies.
Right. That's the overarching theme of this whole movie. They killed some zombies in every scene.
Collectively, they killed some zombies. Actually, you know something that I kind of liked about this movie?
What?
The variety of zombies.
Because you got moss zombies.
You got moss zombies, rock zombies. You got some of the zombies, I think, had red eyes. Mm. That glowed. Some of them looked more dead than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them also kind of looked like puzzle face, but most of them didn't. So I would like to know how quickly they deteriorate because there did not seem to be a lot of
fresh zombies.
Right, which you would expect from a rave.
Right.
Or like, I mean, yeah, like raves are the only place you get fresh zombies from. I mean, with a large group of people recently dead.
If you could be any type of zombie in this world where there's just infinite types of zombies, what type of zombie would you want to be?
I would want to be the zombie that has an axe in each hand so I could run around chopping legs off.
I would want to be an underwater zombie.
Yeah, those are cool. Yeah. I liked the underwater zombies.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, it's a good call. Good call. Good zombies. I don't have anything else to say about this movie.
Well, there's not much to say.
No.
It was a movie and we watched it. So you didn't have to. You're welcome.
Yes. A couple fun facts for you. The reviews for this movie were so bad that...
Shocker.
Cinemas in Denmark refused to buy it. And... the guy who played Rudy burned his hand very early in shooting, and that's why they included the scene of him falling on the nail so that they could explain why he had his hand wrapped up in a bandage through 99% of the movie. So there you go. Fun little facts for you. I don't think that this movie... I want to hear your thoughts on this, but I don't think that this movie... really contributed anything to the zombie genre overall?
No.
Maybe the video game did a little bit to like popularize them, but I think this one's going to just go down in history as a not good zombie movie.
Definitely.
Now, is this a fun movie to watch with a couple drinks in you?
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't say that this is like one of the worst movies in the world. If I had to choose between this and Alone in the Dark, I would definitely rewatch this because Alone in the Dark was just incoherent. But I have to say, I think that this movie kind of deserves the status that it has, unfortunately. And, you know, that's sad because a lot of these people went on to make better things. Also, it has Clint Howard in it. So.
Clint Howard.
Do you have any final thoughts?
I say save your time and don't watch this movie.
Yeah, go watch Barbed Wire instead. I really Definitely. Wanted to just sit down and talk about that all over again.
Yeah.
People are going to listen to our new obsession with Barbed Wire and they're going to be like, idiots. Thank you for listening. As always, we encourage you to hit that subscribe button in Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts so you never have to miss an episode. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Journey Into Film. And if you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/ajourneyintofilm or head over to TeePublic and check out some sweet merch. Links to those are available in the show notes. And as always, never let anyone tell you that a film you enjoy is bad because they're probably wrong.
I got a joke for you. What type of underwear does a zombie wear?
I don't know.
Fruit of the tomb.